listening to TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host. On today's show, we're going to be talking to Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele from Comedy Central's Key and Peele. These are two of the funniest guys on TV, in my opinion, and they're the masterminds behind the show. The show airs at 10:30 p.m. Wednesdays and features the two sketch comedy veterans impersonating everyone from President Barack Obama and his anger interpreter, Luther, which is one of my personal favorites, especially in an election year. And they also do Lil Wayne and Jesus and a bunch of other people. I caught up with Key and Peele recently to talk about the second season, what viewers can expect, and what it was like meeting President Barack Obama. Check it out. Thanks for doing the interview.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for asking.
I love what I saw so far for season two. Are you guys excited?
We're really excited. Yeah, we feel very confident and very very proud of this season. So
more so than the first?
It's interesting because this is Jordan speaking. We first season was we found our voice in the first season. And in second season, if I had to describe it in a nutshell, we had fun, we just got to play and be a little bit more confident, a little bit more relaxed in it. So mm-hmm. It felt like, yeah, we were in the pocket.
Yeah, that you took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly how I would have described it. Exactly.
Now, there was some of the sketches were like, I loved even more than the other ones. I loved racist dogs. Can you guys talk about that and sort of where that came from?
This is Jordan speaking. So there's this one sketch that we explore the origin of, why dogs are racist. Because, everybody knows this, I don't know if you're African-American, you had a dog bark at you just out of nowhere. And, our minds, jump to racism sometimes. So, I don't know. Do we give it away, Key?
Yeah, I just think we were trying to find the most ridiculous reason that a dog could be racist. It's funny. I've had friends, I grew up in Detroit, and, I have a friend, an African-American friend. She had a dog. And that dog did not like me. And I used to look at her, the dog, and go, what are you doing to me? She's black. Why do you like her? So, But, it was just something that came through our minds, and we just thought that would be an interesting subject. What if a dog actually had the ability to be racist?
Either way, we realized that, a lot of people say my dog's not racist because it was just the previous owner was black, and so it's just these other black people. Well, that's racism.
That's racism. You're saying black people beat dogs? I don't beat my dog.
Oh, no.
The fact that dog is judging me for what somebody else did to it
makes it racist.
That does, technically make it racist. What I loved was that I've seen that on, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I've seen it on King of the Hill as plot lines. The fun thing about you guys' sketch is that the dog not only was racist, but was, the grand dragon, the dog clan.
And the grand wizard of the dog KKK.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we tell you, how hard it is to get five dogs sit still in KKK outfits?
What now? Didn't even think about that. But that sounds tough. It sounds tough.
Oh yeah, it's pretty tough. Yes.
But yeah, we have a lot of I know that image is a real powerful one, and we have a lot of things where an image came together, and it's just so over the top, or it's pulled together with really good special effects. And this season, there's a lot of images that stand out like that.
Yeah, we really told the writers this year, we said to one of our producers, so what can't we do? And he said, go ahead and write what you want to write, and we'll figure it out. And we looked at the producer and said, uh-oh, you shouldn't have said that. You should not have said that. Because then we're going to go for it. And then, the marching order for the writers then was that they could just, don't try to, if you're a writer, just write what you want to do and be as creative as you can. Mm-hmm. Don't try and write like a producer. You know what I mean? Write like a writer. Write what you want, and we'll figure it out later. And so there's a lot. It's a lot more outlandish stuff this year.
That's great. Now, I saw I forgot the actress's name, but she plays Mary Magdalene in the Jesus sketch.
Michaela Watts?
Yeah, Michaela. She was on Saturday Night Live. And
yes, she was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
She was, yes.
What other guest stars, any big names or guest stars that we can look forward to in season two that you guys can tease?
Is that okay, Jordan, for us to say that? I guess we can. So Wayne Brady's on this season.
Oh, great.
In a way that you've definitely never seen him before. and that's including the character he played on Chappelle.
Oh, wow. So he tops that?
Yeah, when you see the subject matter, you're going to be like, oh, damn. What is going on?
We got, our big one was Billy Dee Williams.
Oh, wow.
Billy Dee came and helped us out. And
did a cameo for us that we were very clear. And then also, I don't know, Makisa, if you watch Breaking Bad.
Yes, I love Breaking Bad.
Okay, so you know the guy who plays Hank? Dean Norris?
Yes.
We have Dean Norris. You know, we thought it would be ironic. Dean Norris was available. So, you know, he plays Hank, the DEA agent on Breaking Bad. We have him playing the leader of a Mexican drug cartel.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Great.
This is great. Season two, it sounds like you guys did have a ton of fun. That is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, it was an absolute blast, yeah.
Kevin Sorbo, Hercules.
Hercules, yeah, we got Hercules, that's right.
And we also got Tiny Zeus Lister.
Devo. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, Devo, yeah. That's right.
Who I guess recently was involved in some controversy of some sort. So
yeah, I heard about all that. We didn't yet know about any of that.
That was all brand new development.
Wow.
Brand new development.
I know he didn't do our show for money, though, because that was nice. We did not have a lot.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, man.
So I have to talk about, okay, I want to go back to season two in a minute, but I have to talk about season one because my favorite sketch to this day, my husband and I quote you guys to this day, on the sketch that was the MMA sketch where the guy was from Brazil and the other opponent was from America and the guy from Brazil was way too serious about it and we just, like, tears were streaming down. And we...
Oh, the UFC sketch.
Yes.
The UFC sketch, yeah.
And if so, I'll say something like, what are you doing? Oh, man. And my husband always says, God's blessings are so beautiful. And we just laugh and laugh. I mean, like, it doesn't matter without fail. Where did that come from? That's my favorite.
That, you know, Jordan, this is Keegan speaking. Jordan is a huge, huge MMA fan. He's a big aficionado of MMA. And we figured we had to do something. But Jordan, isn't the character I'm playing is based on the Gracies?
Yeah, basically. The whole thing about MMA is, you know, there's all these Brazilian guys who do jiu-jitsu, and all these guys are just focused, serious, and they're just... And they're smaller, but they're badasses because they can just finish the fights. And so, yeah, you're sort of a representation of of jiu-jitsu.
I think also some of it is it's that, you know, you can't be, you really can't be in your right mind and do this job. You know what I mean? It's just different degrees of being in your right mind. So the character I'm playing is clearly way to one end of that spectrum. You know what I mean? So
it's the whole thing. It's like the crazy eyes, the praying, and then Jordan's character is like, he knows we're just kidding around, right? Like, this is...
Yeah, that one is very simple, and I don't know, something of it has struck a chord to people.
Anyone who's ever watched an MMA fight had to get it immediately, right? I mean,
yeah. Oh,
absolutely, yeah. And I think it also is a comment. I mean, I'm thinking I'm trying to show off now and think about this like I had thought about this deeply before. I did not. But it's kind of a treatise, you know, it's like Jordan just said, there's a clash of cultures between the two fighters. And one thing that you can bring to it is the fact that there's a difference between, you know, braggadocio and some, you know, someone talking a good game and someone being straight up crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's and I think there's it's a little bit of an exploration to that. Not that we were going for that, but in hindsight, as I look at it, I see that.
Now, I know people are going to expect to see a certain amount of Obama in person or Obama sketches because it's an election year. Does that put pressure on you guys, or are you guys ready for that, or what's your reaction?
This is Jordan speaking. First here, we sort of embrace that. You know, we think that this season in particular, this for us and the election season coinciding, we think it's just, you know, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't be more perfect. And so we don't, if you are expecting our show to be a political show, I think that's a limiting way to describe it. You know, we go so many different places. It just so happens we've zoned in on this scene where Obama and his anger translator Luther are explaining what, you know, how we feel Obama. Obama's pent up frustrations.
Yeah.
And it just it seems to be that perfect vehicle to say a lot of things that people are thinking but nobody says.
Right.
Right.
So we'll hit that a couple of times this season.
Yeah, you'll see them. And I think also, you know, a lot of it, this does not necessarily happen to be the case. But, you know, you could be a conservative and still write the Obama Luther scene.
Yeah, totally.
It just wouldn't occur to you. I mean, it occurs to us because we have a demographic similarity, and we actually have a kind of a background similarity.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? In regard to him being raised by a single parent, Jordan was raised by a single parent. I spent the majority of my time with my being raised by my white mother, with my brother, and you know what I mean. So I think he is culturally and personally on our radar.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a perfect fit. Like it wouldn't make sense for people of our makeup to not write something about him.
That's so true. Yeah.
But I think it's funny. It's not necessarily a political scene. It's just that it's a whole lot of wouldn't it be funny if the president could actually say what he wanted to. Now there's a lot of social and racial underpinning to that.
Of course.
For us, it was like, that's a hilarious idea. How do we attack that idea? That's just, I mean, you know, it wasn't us. It's an interesting thing. It's just, how could we not do it?
The one thing that we get, the tool that we get in our job, that being sketch comedy or comedy that other people can't use, is we don't have to be politically correct.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We can get to something that speaks to a larger truth, an inconvenient truth, an unfortunate truth. But anything that rings true is our bread and butter. That's what gets the laughs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, and did you hear we got to meet him because of that?
Really? How is that?
Yeah. Oh my God. It was the best day. I mean, we got to spend like a good 10 minutes with him. We watched him do his weekly address, of weekly addresses. And he said to us, he pointed at Keegan, and he was like, you know, I could use a Luther.
I could definitely use Luther. Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow.
He says, well, it's going to have to wait till second term.
Well, and I think the big thing is it goes right back to what Jordan just said, which is sometimes when we're in the writing process, we'll fall into a little bit of a pitfall where we'll say, oh, this is a funny line if Luther does this thing or that thing. And we always have to remember, but is Luther, in that moment, no matter how funny it is, is he translating what the president feels? You know what I mean? As opposed to just writing a joke, show Keegan jumping around acting crazy and screaming.
Right.
It's we always want to keep that concept intact that, oh, the president wishes he could say this, but he now has this outlet that allows him to say that, you know, as opposed to just kind of screaming and being silly.
Yeah, I thought of you guys when I saw his DNC acceptance, and I just thought, oh my God, I can't wait. I don't know if you guys are going to do anything with that, and probably happened after you had already shot your sketches, but I definitely thought of you.
Oh, there's a video up right now that you can watch.
Oh, cool.
That's a response to the convention.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. You can watch it as you were talking to us if you wanted to.
That's wonderful. I'll make sure I link to it.
we're trying to come out with one, either once a week or once every couple of weeks during this season online, just because it's a time where you want to. Sometimes you want to make a joke that is not going to be funny, even in a couple of days.
Right.
Yeah.
And the bread and butter of our show is to try and do stuff that will be funny for years to come. So the internet stuff has given us an opportunity to be topical.
That's great. So I mean that's all the time we have, guys. If you want to add anything else about season two, make sure people tune in. I don't think they need a reason. I think you guys are brilliant, and I'm sure a lot of people will be tuning in, but did you want to add anything?
Thank you. That's great.
No, I'm good, too. I'm just so glad that you called.
Well, anytime, just set it up. We'd be happy to talk.
Yes.
We're more than happy to talk. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck with everything.
Thanks, Makisha.
Okay, bye-bye. I love these guys, right? I mean, who's not watching Key and Peele? If you're not watching Key and Peele, please watch Key and Peele, people. It's a fantastically funny show. He does one of the best Obamas around. I'm sorry. Hands down, he's one of the best Obamas on television. That's what I think. Check it out. Key and Peele, 10:30 p.m. Wednesdays on Comedy Central. And now I have to do my thank yous because Theo, you guys, I'm serious. Theo, I don't get a chance to work with you very much, but you're amazing. He cleaned up my, field interviews like you wouldn't even, you should hear how it sounded before he got his magical hands on it and made it sound better. So thank you, Theo, for that. Thank you, NPR West, and our sponsor, The Last Record Store in Santa Monica. Visit Record Surplus. Visit RecordSurplusLA.com. As well as production assistant, I have to thank production assistant Adam Janis, and you for listening. Thank you so much. Take care. How dare you?